Hi, Norman Solomon. Welcome to KABU.
Hi, Bill.
Norman Solomon is a local boy made good, worked in his youth on the never-to-be-forgotten, at least by me, Portland Alliance, the Radical Monthly, and also here at KABU. Norman now resides in Northern California, San Francisco, near San Francisco, has become a national figure, the founder of the organization Roots Action. He also writes a great deal, now 12 books, a vast trove of op-ed. His analyses appear in near every left journal and website that I look at. So, Norman, today it's Saturday. We're pre-recording this interview. Next Monday is the 3rd when Portland hears this interview. It's also the day of the Iowa presidential primary election. You're an enthusiastic, proud, hopeful supporter of the Sanders Revolution. In 2016, you were a Sanders delegate for the Democratic Party National Convention, and you're now the coordinator of the Independent Bernie Delegates Network. So, Norman, what do you expect in Iowa and then New Hampshire, where you spent the last month? And then we can get to how Bernie can become the Democratic Party candidate for president, how Trump can be beaten, and whether Bernie can govern in the face of furious opposition from the media, from corporate America, and from a right wing. But first, what's happening out there in voter land, and how can Bernie win?
Well, my crystal ball is in the shop, but I think he has a very strong chance in Iowa and New Hampshire. I was in New Hampshire just for a few days in early fall, and by the way, I'm headed back there almost imminently. But I think it's very important that the grassroots has overcome tremendous barriers, not so much this time the Democratic National Committee, as the national media, the corporate media, and in terms of ideology and content, that includes programs on ostensibly public broadcasting, like All Things Considered and Morning Edition and NPR, as well as PBS NewsHour. This is not unanimous in terms of all the coverage, but the dominant media themes and approach to commentary and supposed news coverage of Bernie is negative. It's critical. And yet I think that the tremendous upsurge of support, which is challenging oligarchy, which is really looking towards a Green New Deal, including Medicare for All, it's generational and it's ideological. And it's the outpouring of response to the neoliberal model, which, Bill, I know you've talked about on this show many times over the years. So as the saying goes, I'm cautiously optimistic, but it depends on what people around the country do from the grassroots.
Yeah, it appears from the rules that if Bernie doesn't win on the first ballot, the Democratic Party grandees get to vote, 700 of them or so, in the second ballot. Do you expect, even if Bernie has the most delegates, he can win on the first ballot?
Well, on the one hand, there has not been a second ballot since 1952. When Adlai Stevenson was first nominated. At the same time, there are still a few candidates with some significant momentum and capacity, apparently, to get delegates. I think if Bernie were to arrive at the convention in July with a majority of delegates, more than a few, above 50%, he's going to be nominated. As you alluded to, the rules change, which was for the better compared to 2016, is that superdelegates cannot vote at all in the first ballot. But there's, I think, a very real danger that if there's no majority for any candidate in the first ballot, then it would be a huge blow to the Bernie campaign, because the superdelegates are, with few exceptions, not going to support Bernie. They're members of Congress who are Democrats, other elected officials around the country. There are quite a few lobbyists thrown in from the Democratic National Committee. So it makes it all the more important in a county, one after the other around this country, in a state like Oregon, crucial that there be sufficient organizing to get enough delegates for Bernie.
Yeah, the Bernie army is, it seems to me, is an incredible phenomenon. It's happening all over the country. I hope they're sufficiently activated not just to win the primary, but to win primaries by a big enough margin and win the Democratic nomination, but then be able to challenge Trump and the right-wingers. We'll get to that. Let's get back to the presidential election if Bernie were to win. My sense is that he would be really certainly the best candidate for undermining Trump, for pointing out Trump's weaknesses. He's got a wonderful style on the stump, I think, that would appeal to lots and lots of people who voted for Trump in the 2016 election. What's your sense?
I think that's true. If you look at the pivotal states, and let's face it, there's a maximum a dozen states, which would be the differential, the swing states, and the crucial big ones being the ones that went for Trump in 2016, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, shouldn't have happened, must not happen in 2020. And in contrast to Bernie, say Joe Biden, who supported NAFTA, would be poison in terms of a general election campaign, because NAFTA is poison in those upper Midwest industrial states that were so damaged by the race to the bottom, the export of jobs from NAFTA. And Biden supported NAFTA and similar type of corporate-friendly trade deals. Bernie has always opposed them. And so I think that it's often overlooked by the, so to speak, liberal intelligentsia and corporate media. Whether they want to overlook it or not is another question. But the fact that Bernie is so well positioned to do really well in those states is very important. That said, I mean, this would be a huge battle. This is ideological. It is class war. I wrote a piece that was on Common Dreams and other sites about a week ago, where I started out by talking about the fact that in 1968, literally thousands of young people volunteered for Eugene McCarthy in New Hampshire primary, propelled by opposition to the Vietnam War. And now, here in 2020, there are thousands of young supporters who have been activated, mostly who live in New Hampshire, motivated by the class war. The fact that there is a class war going on, which is more and more brutal towards the youngest generations, people who can't pay their college debts, who find that their opportunities, yes, are there for low-paying jobs with little sense of improving their own financial stability or raising a family or that sort of thing. So we have opportunities, but also huge barriers, because Wall Street and broader corporate America are dead set against Bernie Sanders, and to a significant degree, not as much, but significantly against Elizabeth Warren as well. It's an irony, Bill, that the mass media really have always, in the last year or so, since Biden put his toe in the water and then jumped in the race, always said how Biden is the most electable and how he would really draw in the votes. Well, for one thing, if you look, even set aside ideology and content for just a moment, I was recently looking at footage of Biden 16, 18 years ago, and while he was vile and the most important Democrat, for instance, as chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to push this country into war on Iraq, he was fluid, he was fluent when he spoke. He was able to put together one sentence after another without stumbling. He can't do that now unless he's at a teleprompter or doing like a totally rote stump speech. He's clearly lost a few steps, and his coherence as well as his veracity are sorely lacking. And then you look at his record, which is abominable as a Democrat who has always been willing to reach across the aisle to Republicans, meet them halfway or more, often urge cutting Social Security, someone who has supported one war after another, somebody who fought for the notorious now crime bill of 1994, used racial code words and phrases, racist code words and phrases, aligned overtly, we now know from released documents, letters to some of the most vile racist segregationists to fight busing for school integration in the 1970s. So, you know, add all that up, his record is such that there will not be, if he is nominated, heaven forbid, a capacity, I think, to get the kind of turnout for marginalized, politically marginalized people that is essential. People of color and young people have to be inspired, or we will lose this election to Trump.
This is KBOO Radio. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole, interviewing Norman Solomon. His domain is U.S. politics, domestic and foreign policy. He writes a great deal on the web, not only on the web, in magazines. We've been discussing the Sanders campaign that Norman Solomon strongly supports. He's the coordinator of the independent organization, the Bernie Delegates Network. He'll be active at the Democratic Party convention. We've been talking about Bernie's chances of winning with the Bernie army behind him, and also critiquing the record of Joe Biden, whose policy positions are very clear. The audio is good and the TV productions are good, and he becomes an impossible candidate for responding to Trump and appealing to the millions of people who deserted Obama for Trump. Norman, let's talk about, can Bernie govern? The New York Times and the Washington Post are producing article after article critiquing Bernie. And CNN and MSNBC, the sort of semi-liberal stations, most of their anchors and interviewers are also anti-Bernie. They argue that Bernie can't govern. And in fact, it's really very hard for a person with Bernie's commitments to deal with the opposition, not only from people in his party, like Corbyn was sabotaged. Corbyn in England was sabotaged by the right wing of the Labour Party with claims of his anti-Semitism. It was bizarre, actually, that that trope could succeed. But Bernie's going to face the same problem, and he's also going to face the same problem that Milt Wilson and Mitterrand and Allende and numerous left figures have faced. When the capitalists, the major employers and anchors of the economy all over the United States, when they decide not to invest, called capital strike, how to deal with that opposition? There's also the right wing, who will be in the streets as they were in Venezuela and everywhere in the world when a left-wing government takes over. There's huge efforts at disruption, sometimes supported by police. I don't believe that that's too alarmist. Anyway, Norman, how to deal with those questions for a Sanders presidency and administration?
I hope we get to that set of problems. It's a long way from here to there, to the inauguration of President Bernie Sanders. But hypothetically and hopefully, if we get there, then I think a lot of what you allude to is very much on the horizon. And it would be a need for a huge grassroots upsurge that is sustained to give Bernie support and his administration support. I believe that's why during one of the debates last year, in I think an extraordinary moment, when each candidate was given a chance to have a 1 minute or so sum up at the end of the debate, Bernie did not do the usual thing about, I'm so great, I'm vote for me, here's my website, you know, sum up sort of thing. Instead, he went right into, we're not going to solve these problems we've been discussing unless millions of people organize from the grassroots with an unprecedented movement to take power away from the oligarchs, from corporate interests, from Wall Street and the billionaire class. And I think he was referring to exactly what you were saying, Bill, in the sense that he recognizes fully that it's not about simply getting somebody in office. It's about changing the political climate and the zeitgeist of how people behave at the grassroots. And when you think about somebody who on the surface had a completely different background, Franklin Delano Roosevelt grew up rich, was not progressive in his career of decades before he entered the White House. You see, still in all, how important and crucial it was that you had an emerging labor movement, you had progressives of many stripes on the left who made possible the New Deal. So we need that combination, and that's where, whether people live in the Pacific Northwest or anywhere else in this country, drawing on the traditions of and enlivening in the current time, progressive organizing is just going to be absolutely crucial.
That's really a great place to end this interview. We'll be talking to you a lot more in the future about the primary process and what's happening around the country, and then, in fact, in the Democratic Party convention, which is in Milwaukee, my hometown. In fact, I may even visit it during that period, say hello to a few old friends. Norman Solomon, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, KBOO.